And I am intentionally redundant because most of the times our minds have been fed so many negative things until we have to keep hammering away at the false concepts with the truth until our individual consciousness accepts the truth and we are set free. I say, whatever good you want, get full of the feeling. If you want to be healthy, and you don't have to be sick to pray the prayer for health, if you want to be healthy all of your days in this dimension, in your consciousness, in your own mind, entertain the thought, the belief, the feeling of health. Get full of the feeling of health, and that will keep you healthy. It will heal you if you're sick.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Hey guys, how are we doing? Welcome to another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. My name is Ali West and I'm your host today, and I'm super grateful to have you all on board with me for today's episode. If you are a brand new listener, this is the first time you've ever listened to my show, I welcome you. And if you are a returning listener, then welcome back. Super grateful to have you all on board with me today. Today's episode is episode number 22. And we are carrying on really with the mindset and psychological aspects of health and well-being. The previous 2 weeks we've talked about mindset and how getting the mind right can help you with your health and well-being. Last week we spoke about how to overcome worry and eliminate worrying from your life. And today's episode I have a very special guest once again. Her name is Philippa Bottrell and we are going to be focusing on RTT. RTT stands for Rapid Transformational Technique. You may have come across this, you may have not, you may be like, what the hell is that? I don't even know what that is, I've never even heard of it. Do not fear, Philippa is going to explain exactly what RTT is and also how it can benefit you, how it can improve your wellness, improve your mind. And she is going to give you some tips, tricks, and practices that you can take away and implement straight away as soon as this podcast has ended. A little bit about Philippa, my guest. She is based in Nottinghamshire, the same county here in England that I am. She first started off as a Pilates instructor and actually has her own Pilates studio as well. But now her main focus is in helping people with their lives and to overcome pains, fears, addictions, all those kind of things that hold us back from being better versions of ourselves. She is trained as a master mindset coach and also an advanced rapid transformational therapy practitioner, which is the RTT system. So she is super qualified to help people improve their mindset, improve their overall health and well-being, which is what we are all about on the Kinetic Fitness Show. So I'm not going to waste any more time. I want to get into this podcast. I want to get cracking, introduce Philippa and give you some more fantastic information that's going to upgrade your life. Let's not waste any more time. Let's get going. Here we are with episode number 22 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Hi, Philippa. How are you today?
I'm very good, thank you. Feeling good.
Having a good day?
Yes, I've just come back from Kundalini yoga, which was absolutely awesome. So it's put me in a great mood.
Feeling positive and enlightened.
Yeah, and very calm and very grounded as well. So
that's what you want.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, before we get started with the questions that I want to ask you today, and we dive into your knowledge and your area of expertise, could you please give me and the listeners a bit of a backstory about who you are, what you do, how you help people?
Okay, so I'm Philippa Bottrell, and I started out on this sort of health and well-being journey about 20 years ago when I qualified as a Pilates teacher. So I've been doing Pilates teaching it full-time for over 18 years now. Used to teach in village halls and dance studios and places like that. And then really what happened is, as time went on and I did more and more training, I started to specialise in low back pain. And the more I worked with clients that were in chronic pain, the more I realised that I just couldn't be delivering Pilates exercises. I had to look at the mind more. You know, that was so, so important to their recovery. So I thought, I actually need to learn so much more about the mind. And that's where I, professionally, that's where all of that interest started, really. So then I started to do training on mindset. And I absolutely loved it, and it was so wonderful for what it could do with my clients, and I could see the results they were getting. So I then trained formally as a mindset coach, which I loved doing, and I did the mindset mastery course. So I went more and more down that role, really, in that route. And at the same time, in my personal life, I was sort of coming out of a really quite a destructive relationship, I'd sort of say. And so I was on my own personal development journey at the same time. And it was wonderful for me learning all of this new information about mindset and how it can transform your life, because it literally was transforming my life for me at the same time. So I just got more and more into all of that. I'm a spiritual person, and all of that started to come into the way I work and the way I work with people. And then I met a lovely lady called Rosalind Palmer, and she was an RTT therapist, and we got on really well, and she introduced me to it. And I went along with her to AFEST. I don't know if you've heard about AFEST. So I went along to AFEST, which was an amazing experience. I mean, it's just a group of like-minded people who are there to explore and expand their knowledge and all of that sort of thing. And it was there that I met Marissa Peer. And, of course, it's Marissa Peer who developed RTT, and so of course was introduced me to Marissa Peer, and I went to a couple of her workshops, and I just knew that I had to do the training in it. It felt like the missing link, because I loved doing the mindset, and I'd run a lot of courses and a lot of workshops at my studio in Newark, and I'd also travel around and done it at other studios, and I'd started coaching people, which is fantastic. But it takes a long, long period of time to get people to where you want them to be, or it was for me anyway. And with RTT, it was just like this missing link. You know, I could get people to change instantly, and I completely fell in love with it. So I came back from AFEST, got straight onto the training, and qualified as an RTT practitioner, an advanced practitioner I am now, which was brilliant. And so I used that a lot. I still do my Pilates, I still run my Pilates studio, but I do a lot of mind work as well. And so this is sort of that I do on the side, really. So I run the two things in parallel, and it's just been brilliant.
Awesome. Great story.
Yeah. It's just been a learning experience. It's been a journey for me. And my clients have come with me and benefited from all the stuff I've learned on my way. It's just been a fantastic journey. And my life has totally changed from being like a freelance Pilates teacher that worked out of Village Halls to owning my own studio, having four teachers working for me and running my own RTT practice as well. So totally transformed my life.
That's amazing. Really. What I find really interesting, and I'm starting to see it more and more, is that you said it earlier and when you was talking, is that when you start to help others on the subjects and topics that you're passionate about, that you actually end up helping yourself.
Totally. I mean, that's one of the huge benefits. It sort of goes hand in hand. And I'm a firm believer that if you don't put into practice all you've learned, you can't possibly help others. You can't possibly teach others. You know, you've got to live what you talk. You really do have to live what you talk. And so everything I learned, I put into practice. And as it changed in my life, you know, it gives me the confidence to go out there and know that it can make those changes in other people's lives too.
That's massive. Same with me. When I found health and fitness, and when I started working on helping people and coaching people, then my own health and well-being improved, and it's just part of the journey.
It is, totally. It is part of the journey.
Excellent. Okay. You've been speaking a lot there about RTT, and that is what the focus of this podcast episode is about. First off, what the hell is RTT?
Okay. It stands for Rapid Transformational Therapy. It is a very specific therapy, and it is developed by the lady called Marissa Peer, who I mentioned earlier. And she's basically been a therapist for over 30 years. And she's trained in many different areas, and she pulled together all her knowledge to create this new therapy, because she got absolutely fed up with talk therapy, where people were in therapy for years at a time and getting no change in their lives. And she just thought, this isn't right. You know, people need to change, and they want quick change, and they want permanent change. So with all of her experience, she put together this therapy, which is called RTT, and that's sort of where it came from. So it is hypnosis. We do draw on other things like NLP a little bit, but it is basically a form of hypnosis. And it's called rapid for a reason, because it really is rapid. So, you know, we can actually make permanent changes, real changes, in 1 to 3 sessions. And wow, that is absolutely awesome. You know, because so many people are in normal standard hypnosis or in therapy for session after session after session after session. They can go on forever. And this makes real changes in 1 to 3 sessions. So that's why it's so powerful. And that's why I totally love it. You know, because everybody you meet wants change, and we want change instantly. You know, we live in a really fast-paced society, and we just want that change, don't we? We don't have the time to wait 2 or 3 years to resolve issues, and this is what RTT does.
Perfect. Everybody wants things instantly nowadays, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do. And it's slightly different with RTT, because we do regress people. So I always regress people, because what that does is it allows me to discover the root cause of their problem, their issue. And so then once we've discovered the root cause of their problem or issue, we can deal with it and eliminate it and get rid of it. And that's why it's so powerful. So you're tackling their issues head on, and often with people, they don't actually know what the root cause is. You know, they might suffer from anxiety, or they might be addicted to something, you know, might not be able to lose weight, all of those sorts of things, and they don't actually know what it is that's causing that issue. Where did it start? And the thing about hypnosis is that you take people into, you calm their brainwaves down. So you take them into sort of alpha brainwaves and then into theta brainwaves. Now that's where you can access their subconscious mind. Okay, and that's what's really, really important. So you go into their subconscious mind and you're talking to them through their subconscious mind. And so the stuff that they bring up, you know, client after client has said to me, "My God, I can't believe that that was an issue for me. I can't believe that, that thing that happened to me has caused this." And it's really enlightening for them to see where it comes from, because then they get an understanding. And I'm a firm believer that you can't fix anything if you don't understand it. You know, you just can't, can you?
No.
Whether it's your body or your mind. And so when they see it under hypnosis, they get such a clear understanding of where it came from. And then we use very specific tools to get rid of it, to eliminate it, to destroy that belief, which, to be perfectly honest, was probably not true anyway. It was probably just a lie, to be honest, a story that they're telling themselves, an excuse. So we go in and we get rid of that. So we do an awful lot of work in the session. We uncover it. And then we fix it, okay? But then what we do afterwards is in the session itself, I will then record a recording for them to listen to for the following 21 days. And that bit is absolutely crucial, because basically, have you heard of neuroplasticity?
Yes.
Yeah, rewiring the brain, which we all know we can do now. So, you know, what's happened with the client is they've wired something really negative, a negative belief into their brain. So I'm going in there basically and sort of, you know, destroying that belief. But if they don't listen to the recording for the 21 days, that belief will start to grow back again. That will start to form those neural pathways again. So I'm going in and I'm giving them a recording, which forms new neural pathways. And the 21 days, that's the sort of being proved scientifically, but that's how long it takes to create a new habit, you know. Some people will listen to it for much longer than 21 days. But that part of the therapy is equally as important as the actual hypnosis itself.
Yeah, it's the work they do after themselves, isn't it, that's going to make the biggest change.
Yeah, and it makes a really big difference. And the other thing that's really important to say here is that people have to want to change. And I know that sounds really, really obvious, but, you know, you get people that think they want to change sometimes, but they're not really determined to make that change. So I can't force them to change unless they want to change, you know, because it's their mind. You know, I'm putting in their new pathways, but if they really don't want to do the work and don't want to change, then they can override that. So the person themselves has to be completely dedicated to change. And one of the reasons I say that is because I get quite a lot of parents that contact me and say, you know, can you help my child with exam success? And that sort of thing. And the answer is yes, if the child wants to change, if the child wants to do better. Sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
Or it might not be exam success. So, you know, it has to come from the individual themselves. But yeah, it is, you know, and those things together, the session, the powerful, powerful session, and it's always quite emotional for people. It usually ends in tears because it's, you know, you've got a lot of emotional stuff there. And I do the work in the session. And it's quite hard to describe a session because I don't know what's going to come up. The client doesn't know what's going to come up. So that means I don't know which tools, and I've got quite a big tool bag, but which tools I'm going to use. So I have to go along with whatever comes up and use whatever, you know, whatever I think is appropriate at the time.
Yeah. So very individualized and personalized as well.
Totally, really totally individualized and totally personalized. And that, again, I suppose is the power of it. And each session takes me about 2 hours.
Okay.
So it's quite a long, in-depth session. I often start the session with a little bit of, you know, probing and questioning. So it's almost, that's where I bring in into the session my sort of skills as a coach and my knowledge on mindset, and I talk them through things. And so, and I always follow up as well with a call to see how they've been going on. And again, it's more of a coaching call that goes on there as well, really. So they don't just have a session and I wave them goodbye. You know, there's aftercare that goes along with that as well.
Awesome. Let's talk about, actually, let's backtrack first, because without going off at a tangent, you did mention a couple of things that I wanted to point out, and it's to do with the brain waves, the alpha and the theta. They are actually the best brain waves as well for learning and intuition, aren't they? It's amazing, like, that you've just come up with this stuff, because I'm at the moment messing about with different brain waves because I'm trying to learn a speech from memory. So I'm getting myself into an alpha and a theta state to try and learn a speech. So it's interesting that you mentioned that. And I just wanted to point that bit out to the listeners, that if you do want to open up your intuition and learn new things, then have a mess about with the brainwaves.
And that's really interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, you're learning new things by going into your alpha brainwaves and your theta brainwaves. And in some respects, you can say, are you hypnotizing yourself to learn better? Are you doing some self-hypnosis?
Yeah.
Actually, you probably are.
Yeah. Never thought of it like that, but yeah, definitely.
I think it's exactly what you're doing, because people think of it with hypnosis that you have to be out of it. You know, we see it on the TV, don't we? And we think, you know, stage hypnosis, and we think clinical hypnosis is the same thing. And you're not out of it. You're fully aware all the time. But you just go, you're in that relaxed state, you're in that calm state, you're accessing your subconscious, you're going into your intuition. that's all that hypnosis is. So, you know, when people come to the studio and I'm doing a hypnosis session, I always say to them, you know, if there was a fire, say my laptop burst into flames, they could easily open their eyes and walk out.
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't need me to say, come on, open your eyes now, snap out of it and walk out. Because hypnosis is something that we go into all day long. So if you daydream, you know, you're going into a form of hypnosis. So I think exactly what you said you're playing around with is you're deliberately going into some self-hypnosis, which is incredibly powerful for you.
Yeah. I suppose it's very similar in a way to meditation as well, isn't it? A big misconception people have with meditation is they have to shut their brain off and almost go into this state where they're somewhere else. But that's exactly the opposite to what meditation is. You should be aware, you should have thoughts going through your head, you should be able to focus on different things and not switch your brain off, because it's impossible to tell someone to switch the brain off, isn't it?
It's absolutely impossible for someone to switch their brain off. And I think meditation and mindfulness and hypnosis are all part of the same genre, really, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, and they all require you to go into your alpha brainwaves and then hopefully into your theta brainwaves, don't they?
Yeah.
So it is the same sort of thing. I mean, yes, there's subtle differences. And I know they've done lots of scientific experiments, haven't they, where they're looking at what parts of your brain light up, and slightly different parts of your brain light up for meditation as they do for mindfulness, as they do for hypnosis. But it's still all within that same genre, I think.
Yeah. That sounds like another podcast episode to me, the brainwaves. We'll save that one for another day.
You briefly
started to touch then on the issues that you deal with, but I want to dive a bit deeper into that. Tell me in a bit more detail, Philippa, about some of the common issues that you deal with. So maybe things that come up time and time again and you see on a regular basis.
Okay, I suppose the one that I see on the most regular basis is anxiety. You know, that's the one that comes up time and time and time again. So I deal with a lot of people that would say they've got anxiety, sometimes obviously depression. Some of my clients are on medication or even under a psychiatrist, and certainly under a psychologist as well. So, you know, I deal with all sorts of people with anxiety. Of some of the ones I've dealt with, I've had incredibly good results. I mean, one lady has had anxiety stroke depression, her words, for 36 years. Yeah, you're living their whole life in a state of anxiety, and she's had one session and she's free.
Wow.
It is unbelievable. And this is why I'm so passionate about it. Now, you can't guarantee that it's one session for everybody. Sometimes it is two sessions. So far, I've never had to do three, but I have had to do two. But, you know, imagine how life-changing that is.
It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And so many people live with anxiety, even if it's a really low state of anxiety. So many people live with anxiety and depression. So it's phenomenally powerful. And, you know, so that is what I deal with an awful lot. I get a lot of anxiety. But I do get a lot of different things, you know, as well. I mean, at the moment I'm working with, I call him John. I'll call all my male clients John and all my female ones Mary, so we can preserve their anonymity. So I've been working with John, and he is an alcohol addict and a cocaine addict, and he's also been a bit of a sugar addict as well. And again, with the alcohol, that was gone in one session. And the cocaine, we had to do two sessions for that. But now we're 5 months down the line, you know, with this. I mean, it's amazing. And this guy is a high-functioning guy running his own business. You know, he's an author and running an accountancy business. And he's got a wife and two kids. And yet he's still was plagued by alcohol addiction and cocaine addiction. So, again, you're giving people their lives back. You're absolutely giving people their lives back. And he, and you can read the testimonials on my website. I mean, he's been to every single therapy going and done everything. and nothing has worked for him like this has worked. And it's just blown his mind, you know. And he said, I cannot believe that something as relatively simple as this has had such a profound effect on him.
Sorry to interrupt you. My next question then, while we're on this topic, would be, why does this work so well for people as opposed to other forms of therapy?
Yeah, and that is a really, really good question. Okay, and the answer to that is really quite simple. It's because we go to the underlying root cause. We go to the root cause. You know, what's caused this in the first place? So that's what we do with that. Every single session, I will regress people and go to the root cause. Once you've got to the root cause, you can then change the meaning of that, change the belief of that for the client. Whatever the belief is that they've attached to it, it could be the belief that they need, need the drug to be good enough at what they do. Or, you know, it could be something like that. So you go to the root cause, which often stems back to childhood, but not always. But it does often stem back to childhood. And then when you go to the root cause and you find out why, we use the tools to actually fix it. So we change the belief. That's how we fix it. We change the belief. Sometimes if it's clients, when I've been dealing with clients that is very traumatic, it might be sexual abuse or something like that. Under hypnosis, you get them to dialogue with the hurter, the person that's hurt them. You don't give the hurter a voice, of course, but you give the person the voice. And it gets rid of all of that emotion, and it puts it to rest, you know, because you're dealing with the root cause of it. And then you use all sorts of other tools to, like, upgrading the child or whatever, which puts back in all of the positive stuff, all of the good stuff, and gets them to see it for what, you know, for the root cause, for what it really is, and for where they really are, and how much more potential they've got almost, you know, and how much more potential they've got to live a better life, a healthier life, a happier life. That's what's most important, isn't it, to people, to live a happier life. That's why it works, because you deal with the root cause. Whereas, you know, other therapies are great. I'm not against other therapies. And you know, they work, different therapies work for different people. So this isn't about, you know, saying other therapies aren't good enough. But this is why ours works, because we get straight to the point. We don't namby-pamby around. We just go straight in there, dig it out, look at it for what it is, and then fix it.
A good analogy would be wiping the hard drive and putting a new operating system on.
Do you know what? That is a perfect analogy. I think I might use that in the future. That is a brilliant analogy. Yeah, that's exactly what we do.
I've trademarked that, so you'll have to pay me for it. I'm only joking.
Yeah, perfect analogy. That's exactly what we're doing. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay. Let's talk more about then a specific session and the methodology behind the session. Let's use me as an example. We've never met before. I'm coming to you with a certain issue. What would the process look like, and what would I experience? I know you've mentioned some things already, but from the moment I walk through the door and meet you to the moment I leave.
Okay, so the process starts before you meet me. So you will have contacted me, and we'd have 99% of the time I have a phone conversation with somebody. Occasionally I have done it via email, but mostly I prefer to have a phone conversation. And that is to, for a number of reasons, is to establish the issue, which I know might sound quite obvious, and you might say, well, my issue is this. But actually, when you start to talk to people, that might not be the real issue. So it's to establish the issue, it's to establish whether they're having any other treatment, it's to establish how long they've had this issue, how it's affecting their life, why they want to deal with it. You know, what is it that's brought them to me? Why is this the right time in their life to deal with it? And also how committed they are to dealing with it. So we'll start with a phone conversation, and then they'll fill in the forms, which ask sort of various questions, very similar type questions, but it also starts to give me more information as to what it's all about and where their real problems lie. So we get them to circle from a list of things, you know, the issues that are really problematic to them. And of course, anything, whether they're taking any medication, whether they're under anyone else's care, legally, I need to know all of that sort of thing. So they fill in the forms. I get the form. If it's something, it might be something that I need to do a bit more research on. You know, so when I was contacted by John with his addictions, I didn't actually know that much about cocaine. So I wanted to do some research on it so that I could use his language, you know, or use the language and be, I needed a bit more knowledge. So sometimes, depending on what issue it is, I might have to go and search for a bit more knowledge, which will help me prepare for our session. So when the session comes along, it's either done over Skype or Zoom or in my studio, face to face. And the good thing about Skype or Zoom is that, you know, my last client was in Switzerland. You know, it can be anywhere. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's not limited. But a lot of people do want to see me face to face.
We're on Skype now. We're on Skype now.
We're on Skype now, exactly. So, you know, you could do a session on Skype easily. That's what we do. Loads of us therapists work on Skype, but I like to do both. I like to do face-to-face as well. So they'll come to my studio in Newark, and we always start with at least 20 minutes of talk. So that's the talk therapy bit, really, and that's me putting that person at ease, really, reassuring them, because everybody that comes to a session is nervous. You know, most people haven't had hypnosis before, so they've come with all of these strange ideas going on in their heads, and they're nervous. They might be coming with an embarrassing problem or something that they're nervous about opening up again. You know, so my job is to reassure people and calm them down. So quite often I'll do some breath work with people. You know, I want to start to get them calmed down. I want to already start to get them into their alpha brainwaves a bit. So I often do a lot of breath work with people. And then what happens then is I will do just a little bit of what we call a suggestibility test. So I can see how receptive they are, how quickly and easily they're going to go into hypnosis. Again, that just gives me information as to whether I'm going to have to work a little bit harder to get this person to go into hypnosis or whether they're going to go just like that. So we do that. And then I'll take them through the actual hypnosis, which is sort of going down from 10 to 1 and downstairs, and the typical thing that you'll have heard before. And I'll do some more suggestibility tests there so that I can check that they're going under and all of that sort of thing. And when I'm happy that we're all calm and everything's going well, then I will regress them. So I'll start to take them back. Now, again, this is where RTT is different, is we always do a minimum of 3 regressions because you can't necessarily see the pattern on one thing. So even though they might regress to a scene which gives you a hell of a lot of information, you can't see a pattern. It's just one scene. So we always regress to 3 scenes. And usually by the time you've done 3, you can see a strong pattern forming of what their issue is. And so then what we do, and we get the client to do most of the work, to be perfectly honest, because then what we do is I get them to look at those 3 scenes and tell me if they can see the link to the issue they've got today. Because, of course, I can see the link, but it's so much more powerful if they go, yeah, okay, I've got it. I can see where it's come from. I know why I behave like this. I know what's going on. And getting them to say that and getting them to acknowledge that. And that's incredibly powerful. And then depending on what's gone on and what's come up, sometimes, you know, so there's many, many things we do, and we've got something called role, function, purpose. So say with a client with anxiety, I will be asking them, still, of course, under the hypnosis, what is the role of their, you know, of their anxiety? What role has it got in their life? And because you're asking them quickly, you know, I might say, okay, I am John's anxiety and I've come into your life because, finish that sentence, and they'll just come out with it, to protect myself, or, you know, something like that. So suddenly all of this is just so enlightening to a client, because they said it all comes out, which is why they've brought that anxiety into their life, or whatever it might be, that addiction into their life. So that's a powerful tool, and it shows them a lot. Some other tools we use, like the one I said earlier, dialogue with the hurter. It might be something that a parent has said to them, not in any particularly nasty way even, but it's they've taken it on board, you know, and it might not, it's not that they don't love the parent or anything like that, but to get it out. And sometimes people's parents have treated them completely inappropriately. So to be able to say to them, Mum, you shouldn't behave like that towards me. That was unacceptable. I wouldn't treat my child like that. How could you do it? You know, so you have this sort of dialogue going along with people. And you can imagine how powerful that is. Other tools we use, upgrading the child. So you can take them back to the childhood home. Say, for example, that a client's found it really hard to go back to scenes. Some people don't like the regression, they go blank. Then you can take them back to the childhood home and you can talk to that little child, and it all comes out then. So you ask how the child is feeling and all of that sort of thing, and it will come out there. So that's an awful lot of what we do. And then the healing side of it is things like using the tool like upgrading the child. I use visualization a lot. So I might get them to visualize, let's say we're dealing with anxiety. I'll get the client to describe what it's like, and they might say something like it's a dense, dark, black, heavy, spiky ball that's living inside of me. And we visualize it leaving their body, and you visualizing it disappearing, and it's gone, and it's out of their life forever. And because you're saying all of this under hypnosis, it's so powerful, because they do release it. And people actually say they feel physically lighter. And so after we've done all of that, so we've done all the work, we've found out the root cause, they've seen the root cause for themselves, they've acknowledged it and seen it, we've done the healing work that needs to be done, then I will record what we call their transformation. And so their transformation, I do right there and then, because I like to do it at the time rather than go away, because I'm in the flow myself, you know, I'm in the flow and I'm in that healing flow, and it just comes out of me. And so for 20 minutes I am doing this healing transformation and basically putting in all the stuff that they need. So if it is for anxiety, we'll be dialing the anxiety down and talking about all the positive things, and but using very, very specific language. You know, and if it's addictions, it's about getting the client to be indifferent to alcohol or indifferent to cocaine, or, you know, that type of thing. So it's not about them hating it. It's about causing indifference so that they can happily be around alcohol. You know, John can happily go down the pub, but he's indifferent to it. And that's where you want them to be. So 20 minutes, and I keep it to 20 minutes because 10 minutes is a wee bit too short. 30 minutes, people are going to get a little bit bored. 20 minutes, everybody can fit 20 minutes into their day. And that I record directly onto their smartphone, also onto my laptop in case we have an accident like you were talking about earlier, yeah. And we lose the recording. So I've always got a copy of it, and I store a copy of it as well. And then that's the end of the session, and then they go away, and I will then contact them probably a week to 10 days later to check up on them. Well, before I do that, actually, the day after, I always send them an email of what came up in their scene, in the regressions, in the session, and what we worked on, just to reaffirm everything that we did in that session. And then I contact them a week or so later, and we have like almost a coaching call and see where they're at and whether they need any more help. And basically, then again, I'll have email contact with them. And that's it after the 21 days. They wave goodbye to them. And sometimes, occasionally, I see them again if I need to do two sessions. But 80 to 90% of the time, it's one session.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and that's how it works.
Amazing. You need to book me in.
It's what, sorry?
You need to book me in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it isn't, and it's people from all walks of life. You know, the last guy I did was a professor at Nottingham University. You know, it's not, people always think it's for everybody and anyone. You know, we all have self-doubt issues, don't we? We all have beliefs that we aren't good enough, we all have stuff that's holding us back. And it's so easy to get rid of it. You know, it's so easy to get rid of the stuff that, why the hell aren't we doing it?
Yeah.
That's why I just think we've got people out there that can help you get rid of all of these things. So why wouldn't you do it? Because until you get rid of those things, your life stays the same.
It's just going back to what you said earlier, though, isn't it? It's the desire and the want to do it. People know that they can improve and they can make changes and they can eliminate stuff out of their life, but it's whether they have that ultimate desire to do it. On my podcast a couple of weeks ago, when I spoke to Serena Simmons, she said the analogy of you can walk the horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And
yeah, and that is so true. And another thing that's really important to remember is people might have the desire to change, but because of the way your brain is wired, and we're wired to stay in our safety, aren't we? We're wired for survival. We're wired to stay in our comfort zone. It's quite hard for us to make that step, you know. And so a lot of my clients I probably had contact with for quite some time before they go, right, I'm going to do it. Because it's quite hard for people to make that step, to take themselves out of that comfort zone. We are secure, feel safe, don't we, with our persona that we've created.
Yeah, and also people get used to it, don't they? I've mentioned this before on my podcast. People get used to that pain and that used to that suffering that they believe that it's part of who they are and it needs to be there, but that's not true.
Yeah, that was so true with my clients with low back pain. You know, that had become who they were. And they were slightly frightened to let it go because who the hell are they when they're not that person suffering with pain? Who are they? You know, it's a frightening thing for some people. So, but it's exciting.
Definitely. One thing I want to touch on is you've mentioned a lot the root causes and going after the root cause. Is it always just one root cause, or is it multiple root causes? Does that make sense?
I personally think it's one root cause for one issue. Okay, so somebody might come to me with an issue, and what we find out, and this happens time and time and time again for weight loss. You know, so they come for weight loss, but actually the real issue ends up being self-esteem, not feeling good enough. You know, so you have to deal with that, okay, get that sorted, and then deal with the weight loss. Now, sometimes you can do it, the dealing with that actually helps them with the weight loss anyway. Do you see what I mean? Because if you deal with their self-esteem issues, then, you know, they don't tend to need to use food as an emotional backup for them, you know. So it can do that effect. But sometimes you will find that there's a couple of issues under there. But each issue has a specific root cause. Yeah, it does. Now, that doesn't mean to say it's one thing. Okay, so it might be three or four things that have happened, or many more things that have happened, but it's reinforced that root cause. So let's say, what could it be? Say it's self-doubt and not being good enough. So they might come up with a scene at school, you know, a teacher saying, you know, you're really not good at this, you're rubbish at this, blah, blah, blah. It might be their parents saying, you know, why can't you be like your sister and all of that sort of thing. And it might then be at work, them saying, no, you're not going to have a promotion because you lack the skills. So, but it's the same It's the same root cause, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I've got you.
Do you see what I mean? Yeah. But it's just shown itself in different experiences.
It's like all roads lead to the same direction, the same yeah. destination.
Yeah, yeah, they do. And interestingly enough, you know, there's really only three issues that come up with people when you go deep down, you peel all of those onion layers away. There's three issues, and that's the one, they don't feel good enough. Two, they feel different to everyone else. Or three, they feel it's not available to them. Actually, just about everything goes down to the one of those three issues.
Interesting.
It's really, really, really interesting. Whatever issue you go down, when you go dig deeper and dig deeper and dig deeper, is one of those three things or a combination of those three things. You can have more than one.
Fascinating. That's really, really interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, because at the end of the day, in some ways, as human beings, we're quite simple. Yes, I know in some ways we are complex, but in some ways we're quite simple. And we do actually all work the same, you know, and we all have the same fears and the same desires. And none of us like to be judged and, you know, all of those sorts of fears. They boil down to the same thing, don't they? They yeah. really do. Because, and I think what I love, again, about the RTT is keeping it simple. You know, once you've got all these tools and you know all of this stuff, it's actually really quite easy to get in there, find the issue.
That's the beauty of it as well. When you've got a system or a methodology that's not only gets fantastic results, but simple at the same time, then you can't beat that.
You can't beat that. It has to be. It's always simplicity plus consistency equals success, doesn't it? Equal success every time in every area of your life.
Awesome.
Really? Yeah.
Last little bit then, Philippa, before we start to wrap this up.
Yeah.
If I'm listening to this right now and we're just coming to an end of the show and I'm about to switch this off and stop, but I want to improve my mental health, my emotional health straight away, but maybe I'm the other side of the world, I can't come and see you, or I don't have access to seeing you, or for whatever reason I can't speak to you, what could I do, or what could the listeners do straight away, maybe one to two things that's going to improve their mental health and their well-being?
Okay, the biggest thing that was going to improve anybody's mental health and well-being is breathing, is breath. It is. The breath is everything. Because your breath will calm you down. Your breath will take you into your alpha brainwaves. You know, and there's lots of different patterns of breathing. But just a simple breath in for four, hold the breath for a count of four, breathe out for a count of four. And you do that for a minute and it will change the state of your brain. You know, it really, really will. So breath work is the easiest, quickest thing to do. And I give that as homework to all my clients, is breathing. It has to be the number one thing to do. And focus on your breathing. You know, feel the breath going, focus on it. Because as soon as you focus on that, you can't be anxious, can you? You can't actually be anxious. You know, anxiety is future-based or past-based. No, never present. Yeah. You can't be anxious in the present, ever. So it's about being present, and breathing brings you into the present.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just phenomenal. People underestimate breathing because we all do it naturally and easily. But you know what? Breathing changes everything.
It's funny everything. You should mention that, because I literally, was it last night or the night before, I was reading a little quote from Arianna Huffington, who owns the Huffington Post. And she said exactly what you've just said. She says, whenever I feel myself going into the future or the past and I want to bring myself to the present, I just focus on the rise and fall of my breath and I instantly feel better.
Absolutely. It's such a quick and easy, simple thing to do. You can do it anytime and it will make you feel better. Guarantee it.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's my number one tip.
That's pretty
simple. And the other thing, the other thing that's transformed my life is meditation. And I know, you know, meditation is increasing in popularity now, which is fantastic. But it has totally transformed my life. being able to meditate and meditating in whatever way suits you, you know, and not being judgy and all of this rubbish about you have to have a clear mind, you know, no, none of that. But it just does the same thing as breathing as well. It just takes you down, doesn't it? It calms you down. So those are the two things. Those are the two things that you can actively do. A third thing, which I think is incredibly beneficial, is awareness. I always call it my superpower. You know, once you start to be aware of what's going on up here, what are you thinking in your mind, you then start to have choice. But until you're aware of that, how can you have a choice to do something different?
Yeah.
So practice awareness.
Definitely.
You know,
my regular listeners will know that awareness keeps coming up. It's come up on at least, I'd say, 7 or 8 podcasts. And it's something that I'm a massive advocate as well. When you start to become aware, you're aware of your thoughts, your feelings, then you can make the biggest changes and make the biggest impact on your life for the better.
Yeah, totally and utterly. It's so important. It's a superpower, you know, and don't skip that bit of awareness. You know, actually get yourself a journal and write down your thoughts. That's what I did. I just wrote them down and I could see a pattern of my negative thoughts. I even gave them names. Like, you know, Irene the insecure, oh, here comes Irene the insecure again, you know, or that sort of thing, you know, or Graham the grumpy, or whatever you want to call it. But I actually gave my thoughts names, because that helped me disassociate from them as well. But it's that awareness, you know, because then you can actually make a difference. You can actually make a change, you know, because you have choice. Without awareness, you don't have any choice.
For sure. Awesome. They're 3 really good tips.
Good. Brilliant.
Okay, where can listeners go to find out more about you?
Okay, so they can go to my website, www.philippabottrellrtt.com. So I don't know whether you put it down in writing in
I will do.
Because Philippa is 1 L 2 B's, 2 P's. And Bottrell is BOTTRILL. So, yeah.
Don't worry, I'll put it in the notes.
Yeah. And all the information is on my website. Perfect. So it tells you everything there is about RTT, you know, everything that you want to know will be on that website.
Yeah. Awesome. We always finish then my shows and my episodes with a favourite quote.
Okay.
And this can be one of your own, it can be from someone else, it can be something that inspires you, anything you like. Just finish the show with a favourite quote.
Does it have to be one?
No, let's go with more. I have had people that have done more than one, so you go for it.
Two. Two from the same person, from Rumi. You know the Persian poet?
Yes, I do.
The first one is, when setting out on a journey, do not seek advice from those who have never left home. So many people out there claiming to help and transform people's lives that are living crap lives themselves.
I know exactly why you've just said that one as well, because I know that you love to travel and you've just been on a fantastic journey yourself, so I know exactly why you've chosen that.
And that one is perfect. And then the second one, which is one of my all-time favourites, is there is a voice there is a voice that doesn't use words. Listen. You know, and it's those two. Those are my favourites.
Perfect. That was amazing. Thank you so much for your time.
Brilliant. I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
And thank you so much. And we will speak again very soon.
Yeah.
Have a great day.
I will. You too. Thank you.
Thank you. There we go, guys. That's a wrap on episode 22 of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Brilliant insight there into what RTT is all about with Philippa. And I have definitely learned something on this episode, so I'm sure you guys listening in would have as well. As always, if you need any further help, do not hesitate to get in touch with me directly. All of my contact details are in the description of this podcast episode, so please do check them out and shoot me an email, shoot me a message, and I will always come back to you. If you have any ideas or topics that you'd like me to cover as well, then please do email or send them over to me. I can take them on board, put them into consideration, and hopefully do an episode on the topics that you guys want covering.
On a final note, if you haven't liked, followed, or subscribed my podcast, then please do that. All you have to do is hit that subscribe button and you'll be notified on when I release a new episode. Also, if you haven't left me a review on iTunes, please do so. If you're enjoying the show, you like the information that I'm sharing with you, then just please leave me a review on iTunes. I will be forever grateful. Really simple to do. If you don't know how to do it, just Google how to leave a review on iTunes and all the instructions will be on there. That's it for this week. Another great episode. I love doing it once again, and I'm going to keep bringing you lots of great information starting again next week. So look out for that next episode. Have a fantastic week. Peace and love.